From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, and featuring the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, your host, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. Patrick Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life. Archbishop, hello.
Hello, Pat, to you and to all those who are joining us in the broadcast and to our special guest.
Our special guest, will speak with him after our prayer. Would you lead us in prayer? Archbishop?
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of life. May our lives give you honor and glory by all we say and do, by the values by which we live, by the way we treat one another. May we show that we love you and that we respect the lives of our brothers and sisters as we offer our prayer through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. So we're delighted to be joined by Mr. Rob Herbst, who's the editor of the Catholic Week and sometimes co-host of the Archbishop Show. Rob, thanks for being here.
Well, always a pleasure to be with you all.
Well, gentlemen, this is Pro Respect Life Month. So welcome. October is designated as Respect Life Month. And so we're going to be talking about respect life. I think it's a topic, Archbishop, that can really be polarizing for some reason. I think because people don't understand what the position of the church is, if you will, with respect to human life.
That it's a gift from God, first of all, that we are to respect the life of our brothers and sisters and to respect our own life. As soon as people hear the phrase respect life, Pat, what's the first thing they think of?
Abortion.
Abortion.
And it's against abortion.
Yeah, and it's so much broader than that. To respect life is to respect life. It does have to, we are called to respect the life of the preborn baby, yes, but to respect the life of every human being. And so we remember that. We believe that human life is something to be valued and to be protected.
You know, Archbishop, we live in, and I'm going to throw out a big word, we'll talk about it, but in a very utilitarian culture that your use determines your value. So if you're good at something, if you can produce something, then you have a great value. If you don't have a skill, or if you can't contribute, then you really don't have much value at all, if any. And that's not how the church looks at human dignity or value at all.
It's not the way God looks at human dignity. God has given to each one of us a life. And whether we are very talented, as the world judges such things, or not, each one of us is precious in the eyes of God. Each one of us is worth dying for on the cross. So whether we are someone who's a successful man or woman in business, whether we are a great athlete, whether we are an elderly person using a walker who lives in a nursing home, whether we are a baby in the womb, whether we are a child or an adult, whether we are rich, poor, educated, uneducated, whatever it may be, each one of us has the same value because each one of us is created by God.
You know, it's really interesting. The very first book of the Bible, the first chapter, God is pretty clear about who we are, and that is that when he has created everything else, he says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So the very moment that I came into existence, the very moment you came into existence, you had value and dignity because you're made in God's image and likeness. And if my value comes from how I was made, then anything that happens after that is irrelevant. In other words, I drove a Ford pickup truck to work today, and that truck is a Ford truck, and it kind of doesn't matter what happens if I put different wheels on it, if I change the carburetor, if I put new seat. It doesn't matter what alterations I make to that truck. It's a Ford truck. It's its essential identity is it's a Ford. And that's the truth about the human person. No matter what happens after conception, I'm beloved of God. I'm made in God's image and likeness, and nothing I do afterwards, whether I become the Pope or a serial killer, it doesn't change the fact that I'm made in God's image and likeness. So my value can never be forfeited.
And, you know, sometimes people will say, well, do you believe, they'll ask me, do you believe that life begins at conception? And I say, no, I don't believe that. And they said, well, I thought that's what Catholics believe. I said, no, Catholics don't believe that. We know that life begins at conception. That is a biological fact. It's not a belief. It's like asking me, do I believe the sun will rise in the east tomorrow? No, I don't believe that. It's a fact that the sun rises in the east. Do I believe in the law of gravity? No, it's a fact. It is a biological fact that once conception has occurred, there is nothing else that needs to be done for human life to exist. It starts there. That's a biological fact. It's not based upon my belief. It's not based upon my faith. It's a biological fact that once conception occurs, there's human life. That's when human life begins. That's a fact. Now, the question is whether we're going to respect human life from the beginning to the natural end or not. But it's not a belief. It's a fact.
Yeah, Archbishop, on that fact that life begins at conception, one of the things that the Archdiocese of Mobile does is obviously go to the March for Life in January. Talk about the importance of that event. Unfortunately, I believe the Archdiocese can't go this year because of COVID, but you know, the importance of getting that message out that life begins at conception and why it's important to go to that event.
You know, well, you asked the Archbishop, but there was a pause, so I'm going to jump in. So I think that it's we did a recent show, and the notion of being one, being built up by those around you, I think sometimes you can feel a little alone in a position that seems to be rejected by so many in our culture. So to go and stand shoulder to shoulder at the Rally for Life that we typically attend, where there's a mass at 30,000 in the Capital One Center, and then you march, there's, you know, several hundred thousand people marching saying human life should be respected. So I think that that's an important reason to go on the march.
I think that is. And to continue to bring it to people's attention, but this is an issue that every day so many pre-born babies, their lives are being ended by abortion, and that we need to speak up and continue to speak up. And more than that, that we respect life throughout life. Not just our respect for life doesn't end when the baby is born. Our respect for life, it needs to carry through from the beginning to the natural end. So I think it is important to remind ourselves, to remind others, and to encourage one another in respecting life. And the National March for Life, I think, accomplishes all three of these goals.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Pat Arensberg, Rob Herbst here with Archbishop Rohde, talking about respect for life. And, you know, it's understandable because babies pull on people's heartstrings. And abortions account for, I think it's hard to quantify anymore because of the number of where you take medicine, the morning after pill, it's a little hard to get an accurate count of how many of those deaths occur, but certainly in the range of 1 million to 1.5 million per year. And so it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that abortion is the only pro-life issue. It might be I think the bishop say it's the preeminent pro-life issue. But I think it's important for us as Catholics to be really clear on why we believe that, which we've talked about, where human dignity comes from, and to remind ourselves that the way we approach, and we're not going to get into specifics, but the way we approach immigration issue, the way we approach prison reform, the way we approach the welfare that's being handed out, the way we approach every political issue that comes up should be rooted in a respect for every human person, regardless of what they've done right or wrong.
Yeah, sometimes when I talk with teenagers, and they will say to me, well, how can I witness to a respect for life? I said, one of the things you can do immediately is go look at your social media and how do you talk about other people on social media? That is respecting life. I mean, when we say we're respecting life, that takes many different forms. And we can do great violence to another person, not physically, but in emotional, psychological, spiritual ways, by how we talk about them on social media. Well, you know, and teenagers will say, well, I thought respect for life was just about abortion. I said, no, respect for life is how we treat one another. Now, abortion is the preeminent issue, Pat, as you said, because unless we're born, all the other concerns are useless. You know, we have to be born before we can talk about the other issues. So to deprive someone of life is the preeminent issue of all. But once the baby is born, then many other issues of respect for life have to be considered. How we treat each other, how we treat people in general, how we're concerned about people, even the least of our brothers and sisters, as Jesus says. So we begin with the preborn baby and the right that the preborn baby has to be born. I know some people say, well, a woman has the right to her body, and no one should tell her what she can do with her body. We would agree with that. But the baby is a different body in the womb. You know, if a gallbladder becomes infected, or our appendix, or our tonsils, whatever, those can be removed because that's part of our body and we can make that decision. But the baby in the womb is a different human being, totally dependent upon the mother. But the baby has his or her own DNA, his or her own blood type, his or her own fingerprints, his or her own brain waves, brain functioning. This is not an appendix or tonsil. This is a distinct human being whose life we need to respect. And then once that baby is born, then we as followers of Jesus Christ are called to continue to respect that life by being concerned about the needs for neighbor, whatever those needs may be.
Archbishop, you know, one of the criticisms of the Catholic Church is that you only care about the preborn, and once that baby is born outside the womb, then you look the other way. What do you say to that criticism?
I would say that the Catholic Church in the United States is the largest provider of social assistance in this country, with hospitals and orphanages and counseling centers and parenting classes. And we reach out with, you know, here in our archdiocese with Catholic Social Services, we are helping tens of thousands of people in South Alabama every year with food, with rent, with utilities, with clothing, with counseling, adoption services. You know, that would be my response. Look at all that we are doing to help the needs of neighbor. The Catholic Church has always been in the forefront of providing for the needs of neighbor.
And in reference to Catholic Social Services, look who it is helping, because what the vast majority of people Catholic Social Services help are not Catholic, correct?
Oh, absolutely. the vast majority. We don't keep that statistic because we don't ask people their religion or when they come to be helped. But we estimate at 90% of the people who come to Catholic Social Services are not Catholic. And in addition to that, we have our prison ministries for those who are incarcerated. We have ministries to our college students, our universities. You know, one of the things that people forget, we have a center in Montgomery that the Archdiocese has, the Father Purcell Memorial Child Center. It is for children up to the age of 18 who have developmental issues. They cannot live at home. Their families cannot take care of them. Many of these children, for whatever reasons, cannot speak, cannot control their arms, their legs. Their minds are fine, but they cannot take care of themselves. And we take care of these children. You know, if people say, well, what about children who have developmental issues? Wouldn't it be better just to abort them? These children are loved. They have a dignity. They have a right to, they are created in the image and likeness of God. And if families can't take care of them, we have this center where we take care of them. And they are loved. They're in a beautiful, clean, cheerful place. And I was up there a couple of weeks ago, and they were listening to songs. I have to admit, I'm a little older than they are. I don't know these songs, but they were enjoying the songs. And some can sing a little, some can't speak, but they were just moving with the music. It was wonderful. They are created in the image and likeness of God. We continue to respect life both before and then after the birth.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM, Pat Ahrensburg with Rob Hurst and Archbishop Rohde. You know, just as you guys were talking, I was just kind of pondering that the problem with abortion isn't just abortion. The problem with abortion is it infects everything else in terms of respecting life. Because if we say it's okay to abort a child because they're not really human, because they can't think or they can't do this yet, their heart's not beating, there's these things that they need to be able to do. Or I've seen many people who would advocate saying, well, until a child is wanted and loved, then you could abort it. Well, all of those things shift, you know, our value for human life onto what we can do. And the problem is that then becomes, or what we have done, and it infects how we treat prisoners, how we treat immigrants, how we treat people who are sick, how we treat people who are vulnerable, how we, you know, that abortion, the principle that we accept, maybe unwittingly, the principle we accept robs everybody of value and dignity, and it puts everybody at risk, if that makes sense.
It makes a tremendous amount of sense, Pat. I remember one time reading an article by a college professor, and what he was advocating was that parents up to 72 hours after the birth of the baby should be able to decide whether the baby should live or die. And he was being, to me, very logical, if you accept abortion. Mm-hmm. If you say the baby in the womb can be discarded, can be that the life of the baby can be ended in the womb, well, what's so magical about the baby passing through the birth canal, being born? You could, if you can abort a child an hour before the birth, why can't you abort a child an hour after the birth? If you can abort the child 5 minutes before the birth, why can't you abort the child 5 minutes after the birth? And that's what this professor was arguing, that parents should have a time after the birth to decide if they wish to to keep the baby or to put the baby to death. I think this professor was being logical, if you accept abortion. But to go to your point, Pat, you know, it poisons our whole abortion, poisons our whole outlook on the value of life. If we can decide, I just don't want this human life. I just don't value this human life. I think this human life is going to be a burden to me, and therefore I can abort the preborn baby. Well, that carries over in how we look upon anyone. If I don't value you, then I can kill you. You know, and we see this played out in the violence in our streets, that I don't value you, and therefore I'm free to kill you, to murder you. You know, I don't value this person. So we can just ignore this person or be as cruel as we want to this person. It does poison how we look at every human being. If I can choose which human being I can end their life in abortion, I can choose that in a lot of situations.
So given that and the importance of that issue, it's my understanding that the Archdiocese will not be participating this year in the March for Life in D.C., given everything we've said.
Oh, that's and it's such a disappointment to me. But because of COVID, we will not be having, you know, usually we have about 500, mostly teenagers, who travel to Washington to participate in the March for Life. And I always enjoy going up there, being a part of that. But last year and now again this year, we have decided it's just not wise to do that. Primarily, well, first of all, there's many, you know, organizational issues. How do you have teenagers on buses? How do you keep social distancing on a bus to get the teenagers up there? How many teenagers can you put into a hotel room? All because of COVID. We never have had to do these organizational issues before. But a very important issue, if a student in Washington gets COVID, gets sick, how do we get that student home? Well, we can't put that student on a bus with the other students. We can't put that student on a plane or a train. So that's too much of a risk for the health, the welfare of our teenagers to put our kids in that sort of potential situation. So this year we will not participate in the March for Life in Washington, D.C. So we're looking at ways that locally, here in the Archdiocese, in Mobile, in Montgomery, wherever, that we can have participate in events that will be able to witness to respect for life locally, even though we're not up in the nation's capital, to do it locally on that day.
Yeah, and we've certainly been in conversation with Justin Costanza, Mr. Tex Phelps, who's in charge of youth and young adult ministry, and we'll be reaching out to the folks at Mobile March for Life on how we're going to make a witness for life. But I want our listeners to really consider, you know, I know there are other things we do where kids are in close proximity that are not being canceled. The difference is being in D.C., because if you're down at Perdido Beach Resort at ACYC and you get sick, your parents are most 4-hour drive away to come get you and take you home. But if you get sick up in D.C., there's no easy way to handle that situation.
There is we're up there and a kid gets sick and it's time to leave to return to Mobile, what happens to the kid? You just can't leave the kid in the hotel. And you can call the parents and say, please drive up to Washington. That's going to take them 2 days to get up there. what's going to happen to the kid in the meantime? So it's just would it's too many issues that would go to the safety of our teenagers to take 500 kids to Washington, D.C. So we can have other events for young people locally, but to take teenagers that far away, we just think that would not be the wise and prudent thing to do.
Too many things could go wrong, and to fix it would be uber difficult. Catholic Week, any closing thoughts?
Well, you know, I mean, there's always things you can do, though. You know, you can't go to the March for Life, but, you know, you can do something. You can pray for an end to abortion 365 days a year. So, and always think about what you can do instead of what you can't do.
And I'm kind of excited for the opportunity because, you know, one of the challenges when we organize going up to D.C. is how do we bring that ethos home with us? Well, we're going to be here, so... this is a great opportunity, and hopefully we'll make the most of it.
And hopefully, by having more events locally, even more teenagers will be able to participate. So there may be a silver lining in this cloud. So, but again, to publicly show that we respect life and to encourage one another in respecting life and to remind ourselves to respect life.
Archbishop, would you give us a blessing as we close?
May the blessing of God be upon each of you, your loved ones, and especially anyone who is considering an abortion. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Until next time.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, as well as Pat Ahrensberg, the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio.